You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Yo, how are y'all doing? It is literally such an honor to be here. Just thinking about the history of this church and how long you as a community have been pouring into this city, and to have the opportunity to just be here means so much to me. So thank y'all for welcoming us. As Derek said, we moved here just back in June with my wife and our two kids. They are incredible. And don't worry, I'm not going to be one of those corny preachers who puts up a picture of their family without you asking for it and all that. Totally, don't worry about that. This is a safe place. I would never do anything like that. I'm kidding. Y'all better put the picture up of my people. This is my wife, Christy. Our oldest is Noah. On this side, Levi. They're incredible. As Derek shared, yeah, Christy, my wife, is in cancer research, so she recently started her own lab over at the Salk Institute, and that's sort of what brought us out. Yeah, we give it up. Amazing. So that's sort of what brought us out here, and man, this is one of those times of my life personally where it feels like everything has been picked up, turned upside down and shaken around like that and set back down. Everything's swirling, new city, new place, new job, everything. And just, I'm so grateful for you all in a time where we didn't know anybody just to welcome us. I remember back on the 4th of July, we didn't know anyone and had nowhere to go. So y'all invited us with your crew and it just... We've really appreciated that and felt that. So thank y'all so much. And thank you, Makers, for welcoming our family. I'm just incredibly glad to be here. So are y'all ready to have fun today as we study God's Word? Yeah. So y'all have been in a series that's called Life's Easy Choices. See, I got it right. This has been incredible. Based out of this passage in Deuteronomy where God says, I lay before you life and death and choose life. And we've been talking about they seem simple on the surface, these choices that we have, but they're actually pretty profound. They have a lot of depth beneath them and within them. And when we choose these things, they actually lead us to the life that I believe Jesus has called us to. So we're going to continue this conversation today in this simple, easy choice that we're going to talk about for a few minutes this morning is this idea of choosing to make a difference. Choosing to make a difference, choosing to not be the kind of Christian or believer that simply sits on the sideline of culture and watches passively, but choosing to actively get into the game and to make a difference in the lives of people around us and in the city that God has placed us in. So we're going to talk about that for a while. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. Just a little disclaimer. My messages are not that good, but they're better when we preach them together. And here's what I mean by that. I don't know what your church culture is. Maybe you grew up in a church where it was really offensive to talk back to the person up here. I'm just going to allow you to set that down for just a minute. And if I say something that's good or resonates in your soul, you can be yeah, or preach that. You can stand up and give me and me and you will know what that means. At the same time, if I say something you don't like, and you're that's terrible, horrible, stand up, throw something at me, shout out heretic on part 3. It doesn't matter. Let's just engage. I just truly believe when we approach God's word with energy, with expectation, he meets us to the level of our expectation. So are y'all excited, not to hear from me today, but to hear from God today as we study his word? If you are, can you put your hands together if you're expecting God to speak to you today? I am as well. It's going to be amazing. So, let's dive right in. We're going to read a handful of passages of scripture, but we're going to start out of the book of James, chapter number 2. So if you have a Bible, flip there, turn it on, do what you got to do. If not, just you can look on the screen. But it says this in James chapter 2, starting at verse number 14. It says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, then, faith by itself is not enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds, but I say, How can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? And then he wraps up this thought in verse 26 and says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. James is going in. So we're going to talk about this idea, choosing to make a difference. If this sermon had a subtitle, it would be, what good is it? So just turn to the person next to you and say, what good is it? And you got to do the shrug, like the emoji shrug. Come on, you can do it with more. What good is it? Can we pray before we dive into the word today? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? Amen. I pray fast every time. Y'all like looked up like I missed it. Can I start out with just like a simple, like a question slash I'm just going to start out with this. Do you have like a passage of scripture or a book of the Bible that you like don't like to read? You know what I mean? Like when it comes up on your Bible reading plan, you wait till God isn't looking and you just like, I'm just going to miss that real quick. Like for me, I'm being honest with you, like growing up, James was that book. I don't like to read James. If you don't know who James is the brother of Jesus, which sounds cool, but like that's a tough life. You imagine if Jesus was your brother, like you on the top bunk, King of Kings, Lord of Lords on the lower bunk, like he never makes a mistake. He's like, yes, mother, I'll help with the dishes again. And you're like, James is like, gosh, like you thought your sibling rivalry was tough? Like, imagine knowing your mom definitely loves your younger brother for sure more than you. Like, no question at all. James had it tough. I feel bad for James. James doesn't really, we don't hear from James that much until after the resurrection. And then he sort of bursts onto the scene as one of these pillars in the early church. And we hear from James in this letter. And James, he has a high emphasis on the things that we actually do as a believer. And that's why, like, I kind of didn't like to read James, because James made me feel bad. Like, James would convict me, like, am I actually saved, though, for real? You know, like, he's like, hey, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions, what good is it? And I'm like, dang, like, maybe I got to reevaluate some things. He's like, if you say you have faith but it doesn't manifest itself by your actions, it's dead and useless, like a corpse. It doesn't mean anything. I'm like, dang, James. He's coming for the jugular like again and again. Then he even says this. He asks this question. Can that kind of faith, a faith that doesn't show itself by actions and good deeds, he says, can that kind of faith save anyone? And that's one of those moments where I want to raise my hand and talk back to the text and be like, James, yeah, can I interrupt you? Great sermon. It's tough. But like, can that kind of faith save anyone? Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. Maybe you should talk to Paul. The apostle, you know what I'm saying? Like, remember, because back in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that we are saved by grace through faith, that this is not of ourselves, it's not anything we did, it's not by works, it's a gift from God. So I kind of want to talk back to James and be like, can that save any, kind of faith save anyone? Yeah. Yeah, I thought that's what Paul said. Maybe y'all should have talked before y'all wrote these and we like stapled it together and printed it for hundreds of years. Like, might have been a good thing to get on the same page, because it seems like it's one of those contradictions, right? You got Paul over here saying, hey, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of your own works. And then James, honestly, on the surface, kind of seems to even be elevating the role of works above our faith. He's saying, hey, if you say you have faith, but it doesn't show up in these ways, like, what good is it? It's actually dead and useless. And can that faith even save anyone? And I'm just like, wow. And I think that's one of the reasons why I avoided the book of James, because it presented this tension that's just front and center in the text of, is it faith or is it works? Has anybody else struggled with that tension in your relationship with God? Like, what's the role of faith, and how does it bleed into and overlap with what we actually do as a believer? When I was growing up in church early on, there was a lot of emphasis that was placed on, like, works. Anyone come out of an environment like that? And it can be kind of heavy-handed, a little bit judgmental, and you feel like You have to sort of earn your way to God. Have I done enough good stuff? And I kind of swung from that end of the pendulum all the way to the other of like, it's just grace. Like, it's just all what God did. Because that's like, it seems like better news, right? It's like, it's all God. And I don't even talk to me about what I did. I know I did that, but don't talk about that. It's grace. We good. And hear me. There's a lot of truth in that. And I think that that's amazing. But what do you do with James then? Like, what do I do with this tension in this text? Of this contradiction, this tension between faith and works. And I kind of want to dive into that for just a few minutes today. And I want to show you something that I just saw in the text a while back. It just made my mind explode and gave me a whole new way of kind of engaging the book of James in this specific passage and this tension between faith and works. So I want to go back. We'll read it a little bit slower. And I want you to see again what he says in verse number 14. James says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions?" Then he asked that question we talked about. Can that kind of faith save anyone? And then he goes on to give this like hypothetical scenario. He's like, suppose, okay? Suppose you see someone, like a brother or sister, and that person has no food, they have no clothing, they have a tangible physical need that's present. And in that moment, in this fictitious scenario, he said, imagine you just respond with like pure faith and spirituality. And you say like, love you, praying for you, bro. Be well, deuces. And you leave without actually giving that person something that they actually needed. He just asked the question. He says, what good is that? And when I read it through that lens, I was like, oh, okay. I think when James asked the question, can that kind of faith, a worksless faith, is that a word? Worksless faith, can that save anyone? I was like, oh, okay. I don't think James is talking about the person with the faith. I think James is talking about the people around the person with the faith. So I think Paul, when he talks about we're saved by grace, I think he's talking about our vertical relationship with God, right? And when it comes to our vertical relationship with God this way, let me just say, faith is all you need. We are saved by grace through faith. It is not in our doing. It's not by our ability to do enough good things, to avoid enough bad things. It's not our ability to climb our way to God. It's all about what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We are saved by grace through faith. Come on, is anybody thankful that we are saved by grace through faith? It's not your works at all. But I think James is talking about our horizontal relationships. And he's saying, hey, all of that faith that's really good this way, if it doesn't show up in a way that can actually benefit the people around you, he's just asking a question like, what good? Like, remember when your teacher in school would ask a question and say, I'll wait? I think he's like, just tell me, like, if it doesn't show up this way, what good is it? I think he's just like waiting for an answer. I was like, oh, this changed the whole way I looked at this. I think James is talking about our horizontal relationships and how if our faith does not show up in a way that people can interact with, we're left with that question, what good is it? And this brings me to the main idea. This is like a simple message today that I want to talk about, and it's this idea of conversion. Can someone shout out conversion? Conversion. Come on, you can do it with more energy than that. Conversion? Yeah. So my educational background, as he talked about, is in finance. So I'm kind of like a numbers guy, like currency, weird stuff. Like I'm a nerd like that. So I'm just going to say this to you the way I sensed the Holy Spirit say it to me, and you can take it or leave it. Totally good. But I felt like God said to me, the world cannot spend your faith. I'm just going to let it marinate for like 4 seconds. I was like, whoa, like, the world cannot spend your faith. Your faith is not a currency that the world or the people around you are able to benefit from and use unless your faith is converted into something that they actually can benefit from and use. So it's like, you know what it's like? It's like Bitcoin. Y'all remember the Bitcoin craze when it started like a number of years ago? Like, if you don't know what Bitcoin is, by the way, welcome. No one understands it. Like, people act like they do, but if you ask them, like, explain cryptocurrency, like, no one can actually do it. So, but like, when the Bitcoin craze started a number of years ago, I heard about it from like a worship leader at a young adult event. Like, that's how you know it's out of control, when that person's like, you should buy cryptocurrency. Who are you? At like that time, it was when it was like going crazy, and it was like, you know, worth like $20,000 per Bitcoin. It's way beyond that now, but at that time, and you know, everyone got some because they didn't want to miss out. I had a little bit. Yeah, I didn't want to miss the boat. So, but here's the thing I noticed about my Bitcoin that I had back then, is even though it was like super valuable, like $20,000 per coin, when I would go to like Target or like Chipotle or the gas station to like get my gummy sour patch like candy thing, like anytime I would go to try to use it, I would be like, I got Bitcoin. And they would like, we take dollars here. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, no, but it's so valuable. And they're like, no, we don't take it. And hear me, I was stuck with something that was super valuable, it was worth a lot, but I couldn't actually use it unless I converted it. And I believe that this is one of those simple choices that God is laying before us to say, will you choose to convert your faith that is so valuable this way into something that can benefit people this way? And hear me, like, our faith is incredibly valuable this way. And as valuable as your faith is to you, as valuable as my Bible reading time is to me, as valuable as my devotion is to me, as valuable as my times of silence and solitude are to me, as valuable as my worship Spotify playlist is to me, the world cannot spend your worship. Like, the world cannot spend your prayer time. The world cannot spend your devotion unless that devotion this way is translated into something that people can benefit from. If not, it's just you that can benefit from it. You ever met the mean Christian? The one who is like, you pray all day and you memorize all the verses, but when you talk to them, they're just like kind of mean. And you're like, wait, what is all of that? If it's because... And if God looks like you, I don't know if I really want to be. That's the best wow I've heard in a long time. Man, like, as valuable as all of that is that God is doing in our lives and in our hearts and building between us this way, if we don't convert that, we're the only ones that can benefit. And I think that's the choice that God is asking us. Will you choose to make a difference? Will you choose to take everything I'm pouring into you this way and convert it into something that other people can actually physically interact with? I'm going to try to explain it this way. I'm going to need your help. I'm going to take you back to your middle school science class for a second. And this is a vulnerable space for me right now because some of y'all might actually be like engineers and physicists and chemists in real life, okay? So forgive me if I get any of this stuff wrong. But I remember from like middle school chemistry and in physics, there was this law called like the law of conservation of energy. Do you remember that? And it's talked about how like energy can neither be created or destroyed, but it simply changes form. Am I on the right track? Okay. So there's this type of energy that is called potential energy, which is energy due to position, right? So when Mark here pulls back, yeah, like as if he misses, we might have to have you go that way, because if you miss, you're gonna take someone's face off. Come over here.
You have a little faith
in you. he's going all the way back with it. Okay, so pull that back real fast. So right now, because of the position of this arrow and the tension, it has what's called potential energy, right? And that's energy due to position. Now, if he were to, don't let it go yet. If he were to let this go and the arrow would go like flying through the air, that's what would be referred to as, anybody remember? Hey, y'all passed middle school science. Kinetic energy, which is energy due to motion. Now, here's the thing that's so, I think is amazing. It's the same energy, right? It's nothing else is being created, but it's simply a transition, a conversion from potential to kinetic. So potential is energy due to position, and kinetic is energy due to motion. Why does this matter? I feel like so many of the things that we pray for as individuals, the things that we want to see God do as the church, the Big C church globally, is only going to happen when we convert potential energy into kinetic energy. And here's what I found in my own life. I'm not going to put my story on you, but I found that I can spend a lot of time here. I can spend a whole lot of time with potential energy. It's easier a little bit, right? I can spend a lot of time just like praying and seeking, oh God, would you do something? Oh, and like just loading up with potential. And hear me, super valuable, amazing, good. But like there's a lot of stuff that I think we want to see God do that is never going to happen with potential energy. If we're trying to knock down this like, I don't even know what shape this is. I was going to say like a dog, a horse. Like, if we're trying to actually knock over this barrier, no amount of potential energy is ever going to do that. We can pray for it all day. We can aim at it. We can believe. But it's like at a certain point, nothing's going to happen unless you actually let it go. Now, this is the point where we're going to see. You told me you like hunt and stuff. Can you hit it? Do we? Okay, see? Oh, you got two. He brought two. Oh! Give it up for Mark. But here's what I want. I'm just like using all these stupid things to get you to just see the one simple point, and that is it possible that some of the things you want to see God do in your life, some of the things we want to see God do in this city, it's only going to happen when our faith gets in motion, when it goes from potential to kinetic. And here's what I know about you. We haven't even met yet, but here's what I know about you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have all of the potential energy you could ever need. You know how I know that? Because Romans 8:11 says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead does not live in some box on the other side of the world, doesn't live in a temple somewhere. It lives on the inside of you. So all I know is that you have all of the potential. I have all of the potential I would ever need because of my position with Jesus. I am loaded with potential, and here is the choice that is laid before you and laid before myself, is will we allow that potential to be converted into something that people can experience around us? That's the invitation for us today. Will you allow God to get you into the game in a new way, in a fresh way, by converting your potential into kinetic energy? Now, this is the point of the sermon where you're like, all right, how do I do that? You know what I mean? Like, what does that actually look like? If you're like me, I have like 80 reasons why I couldn't do that, or why I shouldn't do that, or why it wouldn't do anything. So I just want to spend, the timer says 6 minutes. So I'm going to spend the next just few minutes reading this passage from the life of Jesus. And I think it gives us some insight into how this could actually play out once we put this into action. It's from Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 31. And Jesus says this: but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Just a powerful passage. So just a few thoughts from this, and maybe to answer the question, where do we start? Like, what does it look like for me, for you, on like Monday, to like convert this faith into action, to choose to make that decision? One, if you're taking notes, you want to write it down, or you can just remember it. One, I think it begins with awareness. It always begins with awareness. And here's the thing I love about this passage, that Jesus has given us a peek into this future moment of these people that fed people that were hungry, that clothed people that were naked, that visited people that were lonely. And you can't feed someone that you don't notice is hungry, right? You can't give someone a drink if you don't first notice, hey, I think that person doesn't have this. Or you can't visit somebody that you don't first notice is lonely or might need something. You can't encourage someone at work tomorrow if you don't first notice that maybe they seem off or seem sad. And I think it always begins with asking the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, would you give me eyes to like see something that I didn't see before? Would you allow something to bother me that didn't use to bother me?" That's always the first step in allowing our faith to be converted. We got to say, "Holy Spirit, would you show me something? Would you allow me to see something that maybe I walked past 100 times, but on that 101st time I noticed something?" And maybe it's a question of like, what makes you sad? What happens when you look at your neighborhood and your city and you say like, man, like you have that righteous anger of like, that shouldn't be. What is that thing? And that might be an indication that God is leading you in that direction. It always starts with awareness and asking the Holy Spirit, "Would you show me something? Would you open my eyes to something that bothers you that maybe didn't bother me before?" The second thing, how can we begin to convert this faith into action? Number two, just do something. Not everything. That's good for me. Like, I like that. Like, just do something, not everything. And here's what I love about this passage. The things that Jesus is giving this group of people credit for is really simple stuff. He says, "Hey, I was hungry and you fed me." He didn't say, "I was hungry and you came up with a global scale feeding program that eradicated hunger globally in 12 years. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, "No, you gave me a bagel." He said, "I was thirsty and you drilled 30,000 wells." No, like, you gave me a drink. You visited me. You talked to me. These are really small things. And I know sometimes if you're like me, when you think about like the things that break your heart, like we talked about, that you look around and see the problems in this world can seem so massive and so large that you think like, I can't fix that. So why even engage? And I think this passage from Jesus like takes that card away from us and just says, hey, even when you just feed somebody, when you do something small, a word of encouragement, visiting, taking time with somebody in the office, instead of just being like, "Good morning, how are you?" And just being like, "Hey, how was your weekend? Like, tell me more." And you just engage with someone on that level, like, that matters. So do something. You don't have to do it all. You don't have to fix everything, but we just get in the game. We be a part of the solution, a piece, not the whole. And here's the third thing, is that nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. And here's the mystery of this whole passage that I don't understand in the least. But you have Jesus talking to this group of people saying like, when you did all these things, you did it to me. And they're like, when did we see you hungry and thirsty? Like, that didn't happen. Like, I don't want to correct you, Lord, but like, you might have got us confused with someone else. And he's like, no. And in some mysterious way that we can't understand, when we convert our faith into action, when we choose to make a difference in that way, when it comes from faith and genuine worship with God, and we choose to do stuff that's small, somehow Jesus receives that as worship. I don't understand how that works, but if we start with faith and we start with love for God and we allow that to convert into the people around us, all of that gets received by our God as worship, and nothing goes wasted. Nothing, no small action goes unnoticed, and somehow Jesus himself receives that as worship. And I can't help but think about what would happen in this church, in churches all over the world, if we like just made this simple, easy choice to say, I'm not gonna just stockpile on faith this way. I'm going to receive, and I'm going to convert, and I'm going to show up in the lives of people around. What could God do in this city? What could God do through the church if we all said, hey, we are going to convert all of that good stuff this way into things that people can actually experience? And I think that's what's going to change the world around us. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew 5, and this is the last thing I'll say, and then we'll worship some more. But Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your faith, that they may see your devotion. They can't see that, but they can see your good deeds. And from that, they will glorify your God in heaven. And I just can't help but see this beautiful picture of the church full of potential energy, full with the Spirit of God. And I know, looking around this room, I don't even know y'all, but I know that there's ideas, there are ministries, there are all kind of things locked up in this room, maybe in your heart. And I just want to be a gentle nudge to say, man, how could you convert that into something that people can experience? It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be glamorous, because even a cup of cold water is received as worship from our God. Would y'all stand with me? And we're gonna worship a little bit more this morning. But God, I just thank you for your word today, and thank you for allowing us to gather together and to just to focus on you today. And Lord, I ask that anything I just said in these last 32 minutes that was like just my ideas and my thoughts and my opinions, would you just allow that to fall to the ground, like Men in Black, flashy thing, that out of our souls. And God, but anything that was from you, anything that was from your Spirit that was true and right, would you allow that to penetrate deep into our hearts and souls? And God, would you begin to activate some things in our hearts? Would you begin to show us some things that maybe we didn't notice before? Would you begin to give us some ideas on how you might be calling us to convert our faith into action this week? Not next week, this week. Would you begin to push us in that direction? And God, as we do that, we thank you that it's going to cause people all over this city to give glory to you. And God, you're going to receive those acts as worship. So God, would you give us the courage to do it? Thank you for encouraging us today and challenging us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue to worship God for a few more minutes today.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.